Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Peter Welch, let's talk politics. Midterm elections coming up. What's going to happen?
Well, my hope is that the Democrats are going to take back the House. So that's my hope.
Yeah, is it a realistic hope? I mean, do you think it's going to happen or it could happen?
Hope springs eternal. I'll tell you, let me tell you, it's uphill. We all know that.
Yeah.
We've got this gerrymandered situation in politics that I think is very damaging to the way Congress functions. But, you know, the question of who's in control of Congress is really about what agenda we're going to be pursuing. And the real debate here, you know, Republicans and Democrats should be working together, and I've really made an effort to work with Republicans. You know, Chris Gibson is somebody I work with all of the time. But the bottom line here is that this debate about the budget and the debate about fiscal policy is really a debate about how do you get the economy going again. And what we've seen in the past few years is that the economy is starting to come back, but it's coming back for folks who have enough wealth that they're able to invest in stocks and bonds. And the market has just roared back. It's higher than it was ever. So anybody who is fortunate enough to own stocks and bonds is doing better. Their wealth has increased. But if you're punching a clock or you're getting a salary, and that's, you know, over half of America doesn't own stocks and bonds, your income is flat to down compared to 10 years ago. So we've got this very nascent recovery, or nascent recovery, but it's only affecting the folks who are able to be in the market. And I'm glad that they're there. I'm glad they're doing better, and that helps us all. But bottom line, the folks who are showing up for work, getting a salary, punching a clock, they're being left behind, and that's just not sustainable. We need them to share in the growth. And that's where Congress has to have a fiscal policy that is pro-jobs and pro-growth. You know, the monetary policy of the Fed of essentially printing money and buying all these bonds in the market has propped up the stock market, but it hasn't elevated wages or created the kind of jobs that we need. And the fiscal policies that would do things that generally have bipartisan support, you know, building our roads and bridges, building out our infrastructure, supporting kids going to college, investing in scientific research, we're not doing those things. And those are things that in the past Republicans and Democrats fight as much as they always do, have mutually supported. So I'd like to see Congress start moving in that direction. And frankly, that's the divide between the current majority in Congress and I think what would be different if we had a Democratic majority.
In the presidential election, you are quite right. I have no doubt that there was a mess over, you know, immigration, and the Democrats did very well. But if, in fact, as you say, there's a gerrymandered way of apportioning the Congress, immigration may not count as much when the parts of the don't add up to the whole. So how much of a role will immigration play in this thing?
Well, see, that's a good point, because the Congressional Budget Office, which is the neutral arbiter, says that if we passed immigration reform, that would be a significant boost to the economy. So, you know, we in Congress should be making practical decisions to solve real problems, not just be having ideological debates back and forth that get us nowhere. So that's another example of the divide here, and this is where gerrymandering is really so damaging.
So let's just, for the people who are listening, give an example. State of Texas, the Republicans take the legislature, they immediately reapportion the entire congressional delegation, and they kick out most of the Democrats.
Well, that's right, and you know, it goes both ways. Democrats have gerrymandered too, but the reason it's a problem is you get these boutique districts, spaghetti districts, and then the only person who can win is an extreme conservative Republican or extremely liberal Democrat. And that means that those folks don't have an incentive to compromise and reach across the aisle. The thing they fear is a primary, not a general election. And the gerrymandering, I think, is as big a problem as the excessive amount of money in politics. Now, what I'd like to see us do is do what Iowa does and do what California is doing, and that is have nonpartisan commissions be setting the districts rather than politicians designing them for their own advantage. But that's a reform that I'd love to see us get through Congress, but it's an uphill battle under the current leadership.
But you'll never have to do that in Vermont since you only have one congressman. So no matter how they reapportion, you're still the congressman.
Well, But people, I'm the one congressman until people decide I'm
yeah,
not.
Yeah, no, that's right.
But the point is, and this is really my experience, you know, I have a responsibility to everybody in Vermont. And it's not like I can just pay attention to a certain element and think that's going to get me through. I've got to be really attentive to people who have competing and conflicting concerns and to try to listen to what those concerns are, to try to understand the legitimacy of them, to understand where they're coming from, what the emotion is of it, and what the heart in it is, and try to reconcile that and try to explain to them, well, I understand what you're saying, but there's folks that, you know, in Windsor County that have a different point of view, or there's older folks who are wondering what will happen if we do that. And then that's the democratic discussion that we have to have, where it's about making it work for all of us, not making it work just for a few.
Yeah, but I'm sorry if I'm somewhat cynical, but I see the division in this country between Republicans and Democrats as having to do with the redistribution of assets, of the way things are. So if the president of the United States does what so many people are calling Obamacare, Affordable Health Act, it puts 39 million people or something like that on the rolls that never had it before. Up spake the, you know, the Republican majority and say, no, we don't want that. We don't like that. We don't want those people to have access to health care. Same thing with tax reform or some of the other things. Am I wrong about that?
Well, that's one way to phrase it and to see it, but I don't think it's just that. There's a difference in point of view about how economic policies can create wealth and opportunity. And what I would say is that many of my Tea Party colleagues here are of the view that we should dismantle government, dismantle governmental agencies, and that people on their own are going to achieve their greatest liberty and success. There's others who think that we have to have rules like Dodd-Frank so that everybody is going to have a fair shot if they get in the market. There's got to be safety net programs or health care programs that are going to make it possible for people low income, middle income, to have secure health care, educational opportunities. Some of these things do require public spending, and they roads and bridges is one where people generally agree that we have to have it. So what's the role that government plays? And what has traditionally been the debate is that Republicans have been more in favor of small government and lower taxes, and Democrats, you know, just caricature larger government and paying for it. But the fact is we need effective government. We need policies that promote opportunity. That includes some things like progressive taxation. You know, if you're making more, you pay more. And then you can wisely reinvest that so that there's educational opportunities for the next Warren Buffett to get an education. And who knows where that person is going to come from, but they need a little help along the way.
Bottom line in this political question, it's an uphill fight, as you say, but things keep shifting. Chris Christie looked like he was going to be the presidential candidate, at least to me he did. Now I'm not so sure based on what's been happening to him. But that's got to affect the Republican Party too, doesn't it?
Well, sure it does. But that's all the, you know, the drama about the presidential race. I mean, and I think Christie did himself really significant damage on that. It's a trust issue. And there are a lot of Republicans that didn't like him to begin with, and now they've got the ammunition they need. But, you know, bottom line, I'm a member of Congress. And my biggest challenge is to try to play a constructive role in making this institution do its job. And we haven't been doing it. And, you know, compromise has to be seen as something that's a worthy objective. You don't have to compromise your principles, but you have to hear the other point of view. And my efforts here are trying to find ways where we can focus essentially on the things where we agree, not vilify government, celebrate, just quote, big government. You have to have effective government in order to contribute in a partnership with folks back home, hopefully so that they can be more effective and successful in doing the things that they do best.
Peter Welch, we love having you on the show. You're always great. Good luck. Go out there and bring out the good fight.
Great. Thank you.